Welcome to the ministry of Gene Fraser. We trust that the word you're about to hear will have a transforming effect on your life. Now, here's Gene with today's message.
The title is Living Above the Norm. And I wanted to look up, you know how I am with definitions. I looked up the word norm, okay? You ready for what norm means? Norm means it's a standard, a model, or a pattern. Here's another definition. Norm, a standard of achievement or behavior that is designated as normal. And another one, an established standard of behavior shared by members of a group to which each member is expected to conform. That's what the word norm means. I want us to read, let's go to Romans chapter 12. This is what God, you think, oh, well, this is a message Pastor Gene's bringing to us today. Well, yeah, but this is what God's saying. I know that he so put this in my heart to minister today and brought me these scriptures and things to say. And so this is, let's just really take it so individually, so personally, that this is what God's telling me today. Why don't you say that? This is what God's telling me today. Amen. Living above the norm. Romans chapter 12, we're going to pick it up in verse 2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I want to read that in the English version. Listen to this. Do not conform yourselves to the standards of this world. Notice those words. Those are definitions of norm, right? Are you picking that up there? Do not conform yourselves to the standards of this world, but let God transform you inwardly by a complete change of your mind. Listen to it in the NIV. Do not conform any longer to the pattern. That was one of the definitions of norm. Do not conform anymore to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Listen to what conform means. So we're being told, do not conform ourselves. What does conform mean? Listen to what it means in the Greek. Well, I'm sorry, this was just a definition, not the Greek. Conform, to behave or dress and such in a way that most other people do. To behave, dress, and such in a way that most other people do. Wow. Here's another one. To act in accord with the prevailing standards, attitudes, and practices of a society or a group. We're being told here to not conform to this world. Don't behave like them. Don't dress like them. And in all those sorts of things. The way this world, most people do. We're being told not to do that. Amen? Listen to what it says, though. So it's saying, don't be conformed, but be transformed. Are you ready for what transformed is? This is a good one. I like this word. To undergo a change in form, appearance, or character. Here's another one. To metamorphose, as a caterpillar is changed into a butterfly. So let's read it again. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Transformed. That's like we're from a caterpillar to a butterfly. You know how that whole metamorphosis goes on. I mean, would you rather be a caterpillar or a butterfly? But then think about a caterpillar just kind of slithers along on the ground. But think about a butterfly. A butterfly gets to fly. That's why we're being told to not conform to this world, because that's just slithering around, just staying like a caterpillar. And we're not saying anything's wrong with a caterpillar, but before the butterfly can get to a butterfly, it had to be a caterpillar. But see, there was a growth process. There was a metamorphosis that happened. And so with us spiritually, what the scripture's telling us, how does this happen? It's by the renewing of our mind. It's not by this works that we, oh, well, I can't do these things and I have to do these things. It's not about the rules and the regulations. It's about the revelation that's going to come to our heart as we read this Bible. And when we receive that revelation, it helps to transform us. It helps to renew our minds. Who knows? The Bible says that we're in this world, but if you're born again, we're in it, but we are not of this world. We are not of it. So we want to stop seeing ourselves as if we're of this world. Because then if we see ourselves as if we're of it, we're just going to keep acting like it, talking like it, walking like it, dressing like it, just being like it, just norm, just average, status quo. But if we've been born again, the Spirit of God, we're born again. The Spirit of God lives on the inside of us now. I mean, we were translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of His Son, the light, the kingdom of light, glory to God. And that's where we're to be living. It would look kind of funny if a butterfly wouldn't fly, would it? If a butterfly was just going to try and still slither around, it's kind of like, well, I don't know what these wing things are for, but I'm just going to, and could you see a butterfly trying to still, you know, slither on the ground like a caterpillar? That would look ridiculous, wouldn't it? How much more us, created in the image and the likeness of God, but yet sometimes just slithering around, just kind of conforming to the world, what that must look like in the spirit. Must look pretty silly. I don't want to look silly, do you? I want to use my wings, don't you? Butterfly was given wings to fly, not to keep slithering around. So we don't want to let the world's standards be our standards. We don't want to be normal, as this world would consider normal. We don't want to conform. Conforming is just going to keep us normal. But I'm telling you, I believe there's a fight today, I believe, inside of my heart to just want to get all over you. And for you to not, what's the word? Allow yourself to stay normal. For you, because I can't do that for you. I'm busy enough working on me. Amen. So you need to get busy working on you. Now, I'm here to help you today. I believe there's words of revelation going out and there's a supply of the Spirit and the power of God to go out and do these things. But we got to take a hold of it in our heart. And you're like, you know what? How ridiculous that must look. A butterfly trying to slither around as if it was still a caterpillar when it's gone through that transformation process and now it's a beautiful butterfly and it can fly. It can live above the norm. It's got all the equipment it needs. So it's the renewing of our mind, how this is going to be done. It's a renewing of our mind. And how do we renew our mind? It's the Word of God. And as we get in this Word of God, and we don't just read it, but we feed upon it. Understanding these words, they are food. They're food for our spirit. I mean, let's face it, I'm sure none of us went up to this moment in time. It's not even 11 o'clock. I mean, everybody's eaten, haven't we? We made sure we ate, right? Well, likening that to our spirit man too. This Word of God, it's not just, we don't want to just put our daily devotion in. I mean, thank God for daily devotion, setting time aside. But as you're doing it, don't, you know, when I do something, you know, I really endeavor to make the most out of that time. I mean, when I go, you know, to the gym or do exercise, I mean, it's like, can we just like get as much as we can done in a short amount of time? You know, you want to make the most of your time. So if we're going to get in the Word, you know, let's get in there and let's understand I'm in this thing not to just pay my dues and to feel better about myself, but I'm in this thing to receive revelation from God, hallelujah, because I understand that I've been changed. And I need to continue to be transformed into the very image of Him. And it's not by my works that's going to get me there. It's by revelation of the Word of God that's going to get me there. It's that renewing of our mind that's going to help transform our hearts. But that's what we need, our minds being renewed by the Word of God. And it brings revelation. What is revelation? It's just light. It's understanding of the words we're reading. It's like all of a sudden it just lights up on the page. I understand that. And you think, oh, well, I've tried to read the Bible. I can never read that. Well, why don't you try again? With a new perspective, with a new attitude as you go into it. What do you think? God's sitting there as you're endeavoring to get in the Word. Don't let the Holy Spirit just sit over here. Well, are you going to ask me to help you? Over here, Lord, I'm going to open this Word, and Holy Spirit, I ask you, you are my teacher. You are my helper. Help me understand. Light up these words to me. Help me to understand. Help me to know. Teach me, Holy Spirit. He's our teacher. And so you voice that. You say that. You welcome him. You thank him for being that to you. And you start reading. And I'm telling you, it'll make a difference. And even me, we're all at different levels in our spiritual walk with the Lord. I mean, there's things, I get into plenty of things that I don't understand. But I continue to read because I'm not feeling like I'm just reading to get the time in. I know I am feeding my spirit. It's kind of like when you download some things into a computer. You know, and when you need it later, it'll just come up. It's something spiritual that really, there's only so much I can try to explain it. It's a spiritual thing. But if you get it in there, it'll be able to come up out of there when you need it. But if you never get it in there, it's not in there when you need it later. You follow me? So it's like kind of like a spiritual download. We're getting these words of life, these words full of revelation into our hearts. Let's read, I'm just going to read this from the English version. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1 through 4. Okay, as a matter of fact, my brothers, I could not talk to you as I talk to people who have the Spirit. I had to talk to you as though you belonged to this world, as children in the Christian faith. I had to feed you with milk, not solid food, because you were not ready for it. And even now you are not ready for it, because you still live as the people of this world live. When there's jealousy among you and you quarrel with one another, doesn't this prove that you belong to this world living by its standards? When one of you says, I follow Paul, and another, I follow Apollos, aren't you acting like worldly people? Listen, at the end, I love this, the Amplified. It says, aren't you behaving yourselves after a human standard and like mere unchanged men? Or we'll say women? And so notice this up there. He's saying, as though you belong to this world. Now, he didn't say, you belong to this world. He said, as though you belong to this world. Because he knows as well as we're learning now, we don't belong to this world. So he's saying, you're acting as though you did belong to the world. But he's saying, I know you don't belong to the world, but you're acting as though you did. And then down in verse 3, because you still live as the people of this world live. And then in the Amplified, you know, we're living like mere unchanged men and women. I don't want that to be me. I've been created for so much more. I've been created for so much higher things than these worldly, carnal, fleshy things that try to pull me down and hold me down. I'm going on to butterfly status. How about you? But here, Paul's telling this to the Corinthians. I mean, these guys were saved. They were born again. And you talk about the gifts of the Spirit flowing in their church. But yet, look still. He's saying in these things, you're acting as though you're just mere people, just unchanged. Meanwhile, you've been changed. But you're acting as though you haven't been changed. So what's going to change that? It's a revelation for us to see and understand that we really have been changed. We are not the same person before we were born again. And I think that's a big problem when people get born again and then they kind of keep doing the same thing. Maybe they need more of a revelation to understand how changed they really were. If we could have seen it in the spirit realm, God took out that old stony heart and he put in us a brand new one. How does that look like when we were in the devil's kingdom? How does that look like when we were transferred from the kingdom of darkness where we did live? Kingdom of darkness. We were transferred from that kingdom of darkness and we were brought over into the kingdom of the Son of his love. Whoo-wee. So we just need to see the reality of who we are, what he's done, and to stop living as though we're just people of this world, to stop living as though we're just mere unchanged women. Women, we've been changed by the mercy, of God. He kept us by the mercy of God. He found us by the mercy of God. He saved us. And by the mercy of God, he will continue to keep us. But it's time for us, because who knows, this world needs the young women, the little girls, and I mean, women need role models. And they don't need the wrong ones. They need the right ones. And who's to say maybe you're not one? Each one of us can be a role model. You might not be in a role model leadership type of position or something, but just you, think about it. Even on your job, are you a role model of what Jesus looks like, what he sounds like, what he acts like? Are we acting like mere women of this world, as if we haven't even been changed, even though we have been? So as we continue to not allow ourselves to be conformed to this world, but rather to be transformed by that renewing of our mind, we really start to see, I really am not the same. And like I said, I believe it's a fight. I just want you to get a fight inside of you. Come on, you know you are tenacious. You know you got a fight in you. You know you do. Every single one of you, you know you do. I know I do. We do. Look at you sitting there in your all calm self. You know. There's something you want. You know. You might do it differently than me maybe, but you've got to fight. You're going to be sure. Aren't you going to be sure? Something that really matters to you, maybe it's your child or something, whatever, something that puts that fight in you. Well, Jesus put that fight in you when you were born again. And he doesn't want us to live status quo. He wants us to live above the norm. Now, this world has a norm. And who knows, I'll even say this, you know, the Christian church has a norm. And I'm not going to get much into that, but we got to realize, don't go comparing yourself to other Christians either. I'm sorry, because you might be comparing yourself to one that you shouldn't be. Now, thank God, God puts leaders in our life. And yes, you can look to them and mold and model after them as they follow Christ. But you don't, the church at large, you don't want to be fashion. We don't want to, just like even our church here, we're not fashioning the way the church at large does things. We are following the Holy Spirit of God, and he is welcome in here every time we're in here. Amen. Hallelujah. So he's saying, don't conform to the standards of this world, to the patterns of this world. Or even we can say to the Christian world. Jesus is our ultimate example. Amen. And that's just all there is to it. But again, we're grateful. I know I'm grateful. I believe you're grateful for leaders, and especially with women, you know, we're role models, women role models that we can look up to, that we can glean from and receive from and watch and endeavor to understand and look. You know, it's like we get to see it in action, that it's really able to be done. And God expects it to be done. We are his women. I mean, come on. We've got a lot to do. There's a lot of things to do. There's a lot of people to tell. There's a lot of people right now. They are absolutely on their way to hell. And they don't just need a track, so to say, or a, oh, Jesus loves you. Or they need the power and the presence of God upon the words from the scriptures you might share with them. But that needs to be filled with God's power and presence. That's what's going to change them. Amen. It's that power that raised Jesus from the dead. It's that power that raised us from the dead. Remember when we got translated from one kingdom into another? I mean, come on. I believe that took the power of God. And that power of God is ours, available to us. So we want to stop behaving like mere women that haven't been changed. So here, you know, Paul's telling them, you're living at a low level. He's telling these Corinthians, you're living at a level too low. And look, but they might have talked back, well, we're prophesying, we're flowing in the gifts of the Spirit, Paul. What more do you want? He's telling them they're living at a low level. See, so again, that's why we can't compare to people even in the Christian world. Because see, just because someone prophesies or flows in the gifts of the Spirit tells me nothing about their character necessarily at all. And so you got to be watchful for that. But he's telling them, you are living at a low level. You're not living at the higher level that you were created to live. And today, I mean, let's ask ourselves this. If Paul was to stand up here and say, are you living at the higher level that you were created to live? What would our answer be? And so we're learning here that it's revelation that's going to raise us. So we want to live above the norm, living above the norm. So how are we going to get there? Well, I believe we're seeing here, it's by revelation. Revelation is going to raise us above the norm. But watch this. It's not a climbing, it's a rising. It's not a climbing, it's a rising. And what that tells me, that's what he said to me as I was praying in the Holy Ghost earlier. I got that. I was like, ooh, that's good, Lord. So I wrote it down. And what that told me was it's not a works thing. See, so already we're saying these things and some people, we are just so works mentality. We think, okay, well now what, you know, I got to do this and now I got to do that and now I can't do this and I can't do that. It's not this works thing. It's a revelation thing. So we don't want this works mentality. Now I got to climb and try and get up there. No, it's just a rising. It's a receiving revelation of who we are, where we belong, and just let that revelation raise us up to that higher place. Glory to God. So that's what's going to get us there. It's not works. You know, remember the Bible says we... Too many times us Christians, we get saved and then we think it's we get this such a works mentality and it really messes people up. Don't get a works mentality. You remember, God didn't save you because of how great you were. I know he didn't save me because of how great I was. And I know he didn't save you either because of how great you were. Some of us thought we were pretty great. I thought I was pretty good, actually, before I didn't even realize I needed a savior. But thank God for the light. Hallelujah. But then there's other people, man, they know they need a savior. They understand. It is quite evident they need one. But praise God, it wasn't by works that we got saved. And so we're not going to stay saved by works either. It's this revelation. It's the revelation of the word of God that will continue to help transform our lives and raise us up to the place where we belong. And that is living higher above the norm. But watch this scripture. This is just so good. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. So we're talking about how are we going to get there? About revelation, right? Revelation is what raises us. We're not trying to, it's not a climbing, it's a rising. Through revelation, it raises us up. And, you know, even now, the thought comes to me, you know, people, maybe some of you are thinking, boy, this just seems so hopeless. It just seems, you know, I can't understand, right? Even right there in that moment, it's that works mentality. You're thinking it's all these things that you have to do or not do. And no, we know God is the one who started this work in us, and he will continue this work in us. It's just a simple believing. It's a simple receiving. It's just a simple understanding of, no, hey, I understand. I need God every day. I need revelation. I need that light upon God's words. I don't want to just read these words and not get it anymore. I want these words to become alive to me and revelation and just light up that which I need. Okay, 2 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to read verse 7 through 9. And this is Paul speaking. And lest I should be exalted above measure. And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations. A thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in your weakness. That exalted above measure, do you see this? Paul saying, and lest I should be exalted above measure. What is that? Above and beyond. exceedingly, abundantly above. He's talking about, unless I be lifted up and raised up by what? By this abundance of revelation. Isn't this what we're talking about here? Satan came to buffet me, lest I would be exalted above measure. So Satan comes to try and stop something from happening from Paul. And what is that? That he would be exalted above measure. To me, I say, unless he be lifted up above the norm. It is by revelation that we come up higher. Revelation is what raises us. And so here, what was going on with Paul, he said, unless I be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations. Here, Paul was receiving such revelation of the words of God, such revelation. And what was happening? It was starting to exalt him. It was starting to what? Exalt him, raise him up, lift him up above, beyond the others. He's saying, a thorn in the flesh was given to me. In other words, the devil tried stopping me. Satan's whole goal is to try and keep Paul normal. He's just trying to keep him status quo, just normal, like everybody else, even in this time, in even the church. But thank God, he understood what was happening. And he understood it was because of that abundance of the revelations, that it was lifting him up. It was thrusting him up higher above the norm of everything in Christendom, even. Raising him up to be a leader to those very ones that he needed to rise above. In the Greek, this says that exalted above measure, thrown beyond the usual mark. Thrown beyond the usual mark. Like in Christendom, right? There's just a usual norm. He was going above the usual mark. Thrown beyond the usual mark. Picture that. So he's receiving. And what was doing that? This abundance of revelation he was receiving. Not how much he was flowing in the gifts of the Spirit. Not about all the great works he was out there doing. Although all those things were true too. But it was the abundance of revelation. That is the key. And that is what the enemy wants to so keep from you and me. And we're not going to receive revelation from God if we're not getting with God. If we're not getting in God's word. If we're not putting on a CD tape as we're driving and getting those words. You see? So that's the enemy's tactic right there. It's to keep you from receiving revelation because he knows that's what's going to throw you beyond the usual mark, glory to God, and that's what's going to help us live above the norm. So what? So then we can live to help other people. But I started saying before, we're never under an attack. People think, oh, Satan, I'm under an attack. I'm under an attack. And we used to think that years ago, and my husband shares a testimony one night. I mean, it was bad, just the family, the body, his body, and just stuff going on, and then the church, craziness in the church. And he said, you know, he woke up one night, he just couldn't fall asleep. He goes out on the couch, and he's like, Lord, you know, I can't sleep. I mean, we're under an attack. We're under an attack, you know? And it's like, and anyway, bottom line is, he was out there for a while, and talking with the Lord about things, and then all of a sudden, God spoke to him. He says, how can you be under an attack if the devil is under your feet? But see, we focus so much on the attack. Meanwhile, he's not here. That's where the devil is. Now, it might feel like he's up here, and it might feel like he's over here, and it might feel like he's doing this, but reality, he is right under there. That is where he is in the spirit. But see, again, it's all that mind. It's that renewing of our mind to really find the truth. So Satan's whole goal is to just try and keep us normal. Where we can't hurt him. And we surely can't do too much for the kingdom of God. If we're just like everybody else. There's only so much. But look, Paul, look what he did for the kingdom of God. And you think, well, I'm not like Paul. Well, but you can be. In your own world, whatever it is God's got for you, Don't think you can't not be any more important than Paul was. As long as where you are, what you're doing what God has called you to do. I mean, it's important you in your life, in your world, in your little world, in your workplace, right? Whatever your world looks like. We all have different places we go and people we know. And I mean, I want to be like Paul to them. I mean, I want to walk around in such revelation and such understanding, whoever I come in contact with, I get to help them. It's not because I'm better than them. It's for them. The devil just wants us to blend in. Just blend in. You know, come on, don't go to that church. They're just a little too wild over there. They're a little abnormal. That was a little pastor anointing. Ooh, I didn't like how that felt on my eyes. But just he wants us just to blend in, just to fit in, just look like everybody else so you don't stand out. He wants to keep you a caterpillar. But you know, Paul took this to God in prayer, and then he got more revelation that took him even higher. And, you know, those thorns, we think, oh, the devil's after me, the devil's after me. You know, there's so much talking about this Paul and the thorn in the flesh, and so much of it is just so not even right. And can't stand it because I just feel it binds people terribly. But receive this light today from this. It's really not a bad thing. Because instead of being intimidated by the thorn, what Paul did, he took pleasure in it. What did he say over here? In verse 8, concerning this thing, concerning the thorn, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in your weakness. So instead of being intimidated by the thorn, he took pleasure in it. Why? Knowing we want to be challenged by it and grow by those thorns in our lives. Let's be challenged by them, to grow by them, and to not be kept normal anymore. We don't want to be normal anymore. We want to live above the norm where God has created us to be. We don't want to be mere women. Amen? As if we were unchanged, but we know we have been mightily changed. And now let's continue to walk in all those changes that we receive, all this revelation and understanding, and let's just walk this thing out, glory to God, as we continue to rise from the revelations we receive. And when those thorns come, what are they doing? They're trying to keep you from rising, trying to keep you from getting abnormal. So Satan's will is for us to be normal. But God's will, his will, it is exceedingly, exceedingly above all that we could even ever ask or think. That's God's will. So do we understand that? The devil's will is to just keep us normal. God's will is that he's the God of exceedingly abundantly above all we could even ever ask or think. I'm going to read this in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17. I want to read this, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, the length, and depth, and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. So, you know, with all this, we're seeing God's waiting for our thinking to come up higher so he can do all this exceedingly above all that we could even ask or think stuff. You know, Proverbs talks about, you know, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. What do we think about ourselves? How do we see ourselves? See, the change really starts here. The change doesn't necessarily start, oh, well, I got to stop doing this and start doing that. The change really starts the inside, and it makes its way to the outside. So it starts inside. It's a spiritual change. It's things by the Spirit that we can't explain that gets changed. And then as that change, starts that transformation process in us, then as we start, we just start walking in that. And then all of a sudden, we're not trying to do good works to get somewhere, but we're wanting to do good works because we are somewhere. because we know where we are. We know whose we are. And so we want to do good. It's not like we're forced to do good. We want to, you see? There's a difference. But as revelation of God's word works in us powerfully, changing our thinking, that is when God is able to transform us and bring us higher. And that is where we want to go. I want to point out here too, in verse 19, did you see that? To know the love of Christ. To know the love. And we're learning a lot about love here Wednesday nights. Pastor's got a series going on. You think, oh, it's so basic. Oh, it's just really, it's our victory. It's just our basic victory. We can't hear about it enough. And as we hear it, we receive more light when we're open. Let's not sit there and think, oh, I know all about love. Who knows? We all have done it, been there, done that. We kind of just turn our mind off to something and we start thinking about something else. You know, we think we know that. We just missed a grand opportunity to receive more revelation from heaven. When we sit there, we think we know. I don't know everything there is at all. I'm going to stay open and I'm going to stay drawing on the anointing of God because I know there's more. I need more light. I need more revelation because I want to go higher. Amen. And I'm not going to climb to get there. He's going to take me there. This abundance of revelation, glory to God, is going to help take me higher so I can live above the norm. Amen. So God's power in us is what's doing the work. Don't ever forget that. We want to focus on God's power that's in us that's doing this work. It is not our works. But because God's power is in us working, it just, like I said, automatically causes us to want to do good works. It comes automatically. But we must always remember it's God's power. Amen? It's God's power. God's power in you does the work. We've been created for greatness. Did you know that? Have you heard that before? You've been created for greatness. And then sometimes some of us, you just see what you're thinking now. Well, you know, maybe some of these other ladies, but not me. Yeah, you. We each one of us under the sound of my voice has been created for greatness. Now, whatever that, now don't put your interpretation on what greatness is in your life, right? What is greatness? What does greatness look in your life? Following God, finding out what he wants, doing it, pressing in, receiving that revelation, letting him lift you higher, and just being that light, being who you are in front of the world out there where you go. I mean, that's greatness to me. We go out and we affect other people's lives, some people that might never even come into church. So instead of giving the cashier an attitude because she's got a stinking attitude, why doesn't she just receive some love? Which brings light. Because she might not ever step into church. But you can be light. You can go there and bring her light. You see, it just all matters. Everything we do. And we don't want to focus on just, oh, got to make sure I do the right thing. All the more focus is just focus on being the right thing. And as we be the right thing, we'll do the right thing. And isn't it great to know we don't have to try and be the right thing? God has created us the right thing. You see? So what's lacking? It's just more revelation, seeing ourselves through the eyes of how God sees us, seeing what he's done for us, that power that day when we were saved, translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his son of his love. I mean, that's powerful stuff. God showed some big muscles for you and me. So there's grace here today. I just know that I want to, whoever would want to, it's not for everyone. If you don't want to, that's fine. But whoever would want to, I just believe I'm to lay hands on whoever would want to and understand, because there's times that you can receive through the laying on of hands. Hallelujah. So why don't we just do that? Come on up if that is you and you want that. Thank you, Father.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Gene Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org or call 888-542-2555. You can hear more messages by Jean Fraser by going to her media page at jeanfraser.org. While you're there, you'll also find more information about Jean's bi-monthly Ladies Bible Studies and a Night in the Glory Ladies Meetings, as well as her annual You Glow Girl Ladies Conference. That website again is jeanfraser.org. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.